In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, Tone, good morning.
Morning, Ken.
It's good to see you, good to hear you, good to talk to you. It's good to be in your presence.
Are you liking the two Monday night games?
Yeah, well, at the same time, no. I wish they'd start them at 5:30.
Yeah,
I wish you'd have a 5:30 game.
If they were going to do this, I think it would be way better, or just add another 4 o'clock game every week. I don't know. Maybe it's because we have this job, so we have to be up early.
Yeah.
I guess if you have normal hours, normal banker's hours, maybe this would be cool, especially because the first game was a blowout last night. So you're getting off that game immediately in the second quarter. That game was over. Jacksonville.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Spencer German, potato salad, asks, he goes, Doug Peterson fly on the play home? I'm like, I don't know. Like, he's squarely on the seat now, man. That's a guy quit game. That is not good, man. Not good whatsoever. Makes our win look bad, though, doesn't it?
Well, I asked you right before the show. I said, we had the easiest schedule in the NFL. And then Mitch came in with a totally appropriate, measured...
And you ripped him for it.
...response, which was, well, you'd have to go through and you'd have to look at every team and look at their schedule. And I'm like, well, that was what was implied with the comment.
But that would be tedious. And we leave that tedium to Mitch. We don't want to do that.
Like, man, is Terry McLaurin the most underrated wide receiver?
Well, you'd have to go through it.
You have to look at all the receivers and see which ones are rated and which ones are underrated, and then, you know, apply that
and
objectively
then to apply
your...
who's rating them as well. I mean, you have to do that.
I mean, is Abraham Lincoln the best president ever? Well, I mean,
you'd have to go through all the 46 presidents and find out which ones,
see objectively and your thoughts on
objectively about what you would see. And James,
their president pro tempore,
James Polk, he brought down the national debt, and
I could debate.
Did Kennedy even get a chance? Did Kennedy, because of the situation, do
really,
we overrate him?
How do you
I'm
really
not
feel
sure
about black people.
I'm not really sure about that. I'm not. You know, with that's what he does. Yes. You good, Mitch?
How you doing, Mitch? What did you think of last night?
I thought it was fun to watch one of the games that going into the season, you said that we had been some struggling games as of late. The Bengals and Commanders game might have been the best we've had so far this
year.
Well,
I mean, to determine that, you'd have to go and look at every single game.
You have to make sure you watch
the highs and the lows. And good teams,
and
Gary bad teams
Cook
down there.
And Paul Brown.
You know, quarterback
and
playing
White
this league. What has happened?
Ken Anderson.
Ask Rodney McLeod about
and
that.
And did WKYC in Cincinnati. WKRP in Cincinnati. That too.
You asked me point blank before the show, Kenny, whether I felt better
or worse. I didn't say better. No.
What did you say?
I said, honestly, I don't know how you can feel better. Do you feel worse after last night? The only way you could feel better is like, well, the Bengals are 0-3.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm 1-2. I got to figure my own house out.
That's
I'm
true.
I'm only a game better, man. I can't. Like, if the Browns were 3, I ain't gonna lie to you, and I know you hate me bringing this up. I'm just gonna say it. I know you hate it. I have to do it because it's germane to the show. I was getting harassed at practice yesterday.
Why?
Because the head coach is a Steelers fan, and I was getting harassed. And there are other people in the area, it's an outer ring suburb, who are Steelers fans.
Wait.
And I was getting harassed. It was harassment.
It is
That's
easy.
What it was.
It is easy to harass us. I mean, how quickly we forget 2020 and the Steelers. And what I mean by that is, what did they get off to?
It was 4 years ago.
They get off to?
When they were 11-0.
Which team was better? Which Steelers team was better? This 3-0 Steelers team or that 11-0 Steelers team?
But I told you, though, their defense is good this year. I like their defense.
Yes, their defense is good every year. Their defense was good that year.
Either way, I'm just saying I'm getting harassed, Anthony, at practice. Now, that's the only thing I'm going to say about practice. I know you don't like that. But, I mean, if I run into a Steeler fan, it's harassment.
Yeah.
It's online. Like I said, hey, we got to look at things that aren't crazy or radical, wild or radical changes. And someone said, well, you got to put Jameis Winston in. And I had written back to the person on Twitter, Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. I said, well, replacing their franchise quarterback is a radical thought. their franchise quarterback. I don't think he's the fans' franchise quarterback, but nuance is lost on social media. Okay. And immediately Steelers fan got in. Other people got it. I'm like, man, guys, you know where I stand with the quarterback. I really don't think it's going to work out to the high level that people thought it would. I got to make the best of a bad situation, and I think it's a bad situation right now. I'm just like, man, I can't go anywhere. I'm just getting harassed. It's just harassment all day.
I get all that, and my normal reaction, maybe if I was old Lima Kenny, my normal reaction is, what the Cincinnati Bengals did last night doesn't make me feel any better at all, because how are we getting better?
It doesn't make me feel better.
But there's a new Lima. There's new measured Lima.
Am I slipping into old Lima and you're slipping into new Lima and new Ken, old Ken?
It's this role reversal here. I mean, this is a formula for a 90s movie.
I don't believe it when you do it. I'm sincere when I have my feelings.
So let me point out.
Freaky Friday.
What do you think?
Swapping on the
Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3. Right?
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if you shared my body.
The Chiefs are 3-0. What is the gap between them?
The Chiefs are 3-0, and the gap between who?
The Bengals are 0-3. The Chiefs are 3-0. We saw Cincinnati. They had every opportunity to beat Kansas City on the road.
I can't solve your riddle. What's your riddle?
So I would say, if you're looking for a glimmer of hope, and you got it yesterday with the injury news, I think, from the Cleveland Browns, I think the glimmer of hope is there is not, right now at least, that I've seen, there's not a humongous gap between all these teams in the AFC.
Why is there a glimmer of hope with the injuries?
Miles is going to get to play football again. There was some thought while he was moseying over to that golf cart on Sunday that his season could be over.
Okay, that's one player. My offensive line is still...
That would have been the end of the season. That would have been over.
Okay, but my offensive line is still not good, so that could still be the end of the season. They're still hurt.
I do think there are ways, and I think they did this with Joe Flacco last year when he was playing with backup offensive linemen. There are ways to mitigate some of that.
You said the secret word. You said the secret name.
I mean, your coach was able to do it, and the quarterback that you had that was off the couch was able to do it. So
you feel better after the Bengals lost?
It's not necessarily bad. Look, I'm not going to spin it as if I'm thrilled about the position the Browns are in. And, you know, Washington, all of a sudden, their quarterback, even though I think our defensive line should be fine against a rookie quarterback, and Cincinnati doesn't necessarily have that, I think we have ways to make him feel uncomfortable. I think overall, I can just say that what I said before the season started, what I said last year about the NFL in general, first 2 to 3 weeks feels like preseason. Now, I can't keep doing that every week. I can't keep saying that every week. And, like, if they lost this week, my God.
So does the season start this week?
I kind of feel like it does. For around the league, too. I think things get normalized.
So we're doing opening day on Sunday. For Friday's show, we're playing the Michael Stanley and saying it's opening week.
On the road.
I kind of feel that way. I know that's.
I think you better hope it's that way.
I know that's weird to people, but it's a different NFL. You have 17 games.
Well, then why are we playing our offensive linemen in the first three games of the season? Then what's the point? Well, why do we play Deshaun Watson the first three games of the season?
You get the advantage. Like the this is why I wonder if the Chiefs actually play their guys in the preseason, because they're like, we can get off to a good start and get cheap wins at the start of the year when teams have no idea what they look like, what their opponents look like, how to scout their opponents.
It all counts.
Nobody's played in the preseason, and they do count.
Like, Pittsburgh will probably still start to take on water, you would imagine. Right? Right.
Yes. Their offense ask a Steeler fan. Do they feel great about their offense?
But Mike Tomlin's going to look at 3-0 and say, well, 3-0 was 3-0, and three more wins helped us.
The hay is in the barn.
Hay is in the barn. We're stacking the wins. Yeah. We're stacking the hay. So he's going to feel better about it. That's why I hate the whole, the extended preseason. It can't be an extended preseason. The games count. The games count. These games get people fired. Like the 0-3 Jacksonville, that'll get Doug Peterson in trouble. The overall record will get Doug Peterson in trouble.
Sure. Yeah, you can cost yourself the entire season. Just ask the Bengals.
Exactly. Tony and Shad Khan aren't going to look at him and go, well, you know, you started off 0-3, but... I mean, maybe they might, but I really don't think they would. Same, and you bring up Cincinnati. Exactly the point, man. Exactly the point. I agree, but real quick, just for the record, 5:30 start time game one, 8:15 start time or whatever for game two. That's the way it should be. 5:30 be great. I know it's 2:30 Pacific time, but I don't give a damn. They've been dealing with early sports for a long time. They can
leave for 2 hours to go surf. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. It's a pretty vast area. Not everything's on the coast.
You can't take last night as the example, right, because of the blowout that happened in one of the games. But the possibility of having two down to the wire within an hour of each other, like you get to watch a game winner and then flip over and you are, you know, 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why they schedule it that way.
I know, but
I know. I
want to watch two. I'd rather watch two than one.
That's selfish, Ken, though. If you're programming,
isn't that just everybody's? That's not Ken. That's the selfish America. Everybody wants to watch more football.
You know what? I'd just rather, especially I.
Right. I said if you're programming,
I have the red zone. I have the red zone. So on Sundays, I really would just rather have another 4 o'clock game. I feel like there is so often at 4 o'clock when you feel like you have no responsibility.
Right.
You are there to just sit there and watch football. And at 4 o'clock, it seems like, this is an abrupt ending.
Yeah, but what
it's like one game that matters.
I mean, some of us all don't have that luxury.
Right.
That's what they've done.
I'm just stuck in the house now.
3 hours to watch football and then are expected, you know, to maybe rejoin the family at 4:25.
Yeah, I hate that.
I've never left the family, all right? They're all there. We're not doing anything. Give me more football.
The second that game ends and that clock starts ticking on a Sunday. Oh, yeah, ratchet. That's the worst feeling. She's waiting. She is waiting. But they've done that. I mean, because what the networks have done, they've done a good job of making 425 matter. I mean, they're going to spend all that money. They're going to make everything look like a big, big deal. I'm surprised they haven't started. Like, 1 o'clock games are still like, all right, 1 o'clock, welcome to your week four Sunday. And I'm surprised they haven't started to go, like, you look at what Fox has done with noon kickoff. Before, there were 17 games on at noon, and none of them mattered. You were really just waiting until 3:30 and then 7:30 for those kickoffs. And now it's like, you can't miss noon. It's noon on Fox. The ratings are through the roof.
I could see down the road, to maximize everything they want to maximize, a Europe kickoff every Sunday. So you've got something going on at 8 a.m., you have start staggering them. Here's a kickoff at 11. Here, we're in New England at 11. Here's a 12. Here's a 1. Why do they have them all start at the same time?
I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense to me for a league that wants to maximize eyeballs and get as much of their product.
I think eventually, maybe eventually, I don't know if they do it week one, but eventually I think you're right. I think they do expand it to the European. I don't know if they have teams in Europe. Maybe they do. I don't know. I still think the logistics of it might be a little bit more difficult than what they think, and that's why I think they're taking their good sweet time working it out. But maybe some point in the future they will. Probably yes. But also, like, they've done a good job of making, like, it's America's game of the week on Fox, and now, like, there's Jim Nantz and there's like a gravitas on CBS. CBS is like, this is this game. This is our marquee 4:15, whatever 4:25 game. Of watching this one. So, like, they didn't necessarily brand it America's Game of the Week, but when you got Jim Nantz, like, it's implied
right.
That this is a big game, a really big game. And Sunday night, but I don't know. I haven't really stayed up to watch Sunday night in quite a while. I usually wake up early and watch Sunday night on Monday morning. Real quick, so I don't feel better about any of our situations just because the Bengals are 0-3. I woke up and I saw what Jaden Daniels did statistically, and I'm glad you're saying, like, oh, well, we'll just go and we'll wreck the rookie. That's fine. But now I'm like, man, we got to play Washington in 2 weeks, and they have played better.
They have played better.
And because you lost to the Giants, nobody is a easy opponent whatsoever. Nobody is like that. So they're going to have to – I have to ratchet for every single one of these games. Now I have to be pensive for every single one of them. There's no relaxation. Like last week, Sunday was the closest to, hey, all right, this is going to be good, that I've ever come. And you made me feel better. You told me that they were going to boat race them. And so I felt better, and then they ended up...
I also thought we'd do that to the Giants, and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. that's what I'm saying about the Giants, is that you said they were going to boat race them.
Well, I'm saying the Redskins, the Commanders... I would just look normally, a normal Browns team defensively should be able to swarm a rookie, give him looks he hasn't seen before. And Cincinnati maybe necessarily couldn't do that.
We'll celebrate it, though.
Yeah, early enough. We'll celebrate anything.
I do want to get to what I think is the most frustrating thing for fans out of the loss on Sunday, other than just the loss.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
So two games last night in the NFL. It was your double Monday Night Football extravaganza. In the first game, 47-10, Buffalo won. Cincinnati in the second game, failing to come from behind Washington, 38-33. We'll start with that one. Joe Burrow had great numbers, but got outplayed by Jaden Daniels, who was 21-23. 254 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Had a beautiful touchdown throw to Buckeye Terry McLaurin. Kenny, it was sensational, the effort that the rookie had. I couldn't believe how incredible he played yesterday.
Terry McLaurin is, this has got to be a talking point here, getting ready for Washington in a couple weeks. I know we've got the Raiders coming up on Sunday, but Terry McLaurin is, and you've said this yourself, I think you were the first person to say it on the air, maybe the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. And he hasn't had quarterbacks throw into him before. He can make a rookie really shine. And he can make a rookie more confident and better. He is an outstanding wide receiver in every sense. And so he's going to be scary for us. Hate to use the cheap catchphrase, scary Terry. But he's going to be scary for us, and he's going to make Jaden Daniels look a lot better.
Is he going to be blanketed by Martin Emerson, or is he going to be blanketed by, you know, our best cover guy?
I don't know. I have no idea
yet. Does it depend if he's on the left side or the right side?
We'll find out. We will find out then.
Because I'm guessing if we stick to those standards, they'll just probably put McLaurin to the other side that Denzel Ward isn't.
Here we are.
Can't be that easy, right? Joe Burrow was asked, hey, it's not like you guys have lost a divisional game yet. AFC North is still right out there in front of you. And he had this to say.
You know, there's going to be some big games down the stretch that we're going to have to step up for. We haven't played any division opponents yet. Steelers are 3-0. Other teams are 1-2. We're 0-3. And we play all six of those games still coming up. So we're by no means out of it. But playoffs and winning the division is the furthest thing from my mind. We just got to get better this week.
Do you think he likes it in Cincinnati?
Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Still?
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Like, it made sense when he got drafted there. It was an Ohio kid. It was going to be an easy transition. Then they go to the Super Bowl. They go to the AFC Championship game. And then all he's had to hear all offseason is, can my owners pay all the players on the team? Can they pay the good ones? Can we actually field a football team? We're losing defensive players. I wonder how he feels right now. It's been kind of a mess.
He's frustrated.
He had 324 yards, three touchdowns. They were down two scores.
He's frustrated. Like, I saw Marash. Like, oh, the Giants need to go after him. I go, they're not getting rid of him, and he's not going anywhere. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He's in that, I don't know what, I don't really spend a lot of time in Southern Ohio. I don't know what those river people do, but it seems to be that they all love him down there, and he loves it there. He ain't going anywhere. No. If you get rid of Joe Burrow, you might as well fold the franchise. If you were to actively trade him, no. Mm-hmm. Lord Almighty. It's a frustrating start, and I told you that their secondary sucks. And their secondary, by the way, sucks. So I told you before the season, that's one where I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. They are in rough shape.
Isn't that incredible, though? They go toe-to-toe, almost pull off the win on the road in Arrowhead. They're 0-3. Kansas City is 3-0. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the other game, a total laugher, basically from the get-go.
Jamar Chase balled out, though. He's going to get his money real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chase had six catches, 118 yards, and two scores, had seven targets in that game. So I could not believe the score. You know me, Kenny. We were watching the Menendez saga, and I was keeping tabs.
How does that end?
And I'll tell you this. I might have misled people because I said how funny the show was for the first few episodes.
Yeah.
There were running gags.
Hilarious. I can't imagine.
It took a turn. Believe it or not.
As these things tend to do.
They tend to take a turn.
Made it through the first two yesterday.
This became the most serious show
as they tend
I've
to
ever
be.
Watched. We'll get into that at some point in the podcast.
I remember watching
the
Menendez brothers trial when I was very little. Didn't seem to be a whole lot of hilarity ensuing. Unless SNL spoofed it.
I thought the first two episodes were almost
when
that.
They did the dream team about what was admissible and what was not in the OJ trial. I mean, that was a, shouldn't you be driving drunk? It was amazing.
the Bills, though, they took command. So I flipped over, and it was annihilation. Josh Allen had four touchdown passes. He had one on third down, so they were already up a score. I think they were up 7-0. And he was flushed out of the pocket. He did one of those end-to-end and then just found somebody wide open in the back of the end zone. It was an amazing play, though. So they are now 3-0. The Jags are 0-3, and Doug Peterson says, might have to look at some things.
There has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything. Everything's on the table, let's call it, right? And those are all things that I have to look at, we have to look at as a staff and make the adjustments. We're 3 weeks in. We're not very good right now. I tell you this, no one's going to feel sorry for us. This is who we are right now.
You're right. I do not feel sorry for you.
I mean, how many more games does he have?
Probably the rest of the season. Well, probably a few more.
End of the season.
If it just keeps going bad, then no, he's only going to have
47 points every game.
Yeah, that's not good.
We do have some Cleveland Browns news, and I think all in all, I mean, maybe you disagreed. I think all in all, it was better news injury-wise than when I left the show yesterday thinking there was a chance Myles Garrett, we might not see him
again. I'm still not encouraged, no.
I mean, it's not great. He's still banged up, and I mean, it was both feet. But yesterday, you've got the injury update. Stefanski was still waiting on all the MRI results. It looks like Teller, dealing with a knee injury, would miss multiple weeks with the injury. Stefanski said Teller's still a possible IR candidate. Meanwhile, Myles Garrett considered day-to-day with his foot injury after the MRI. No updates yet on Jedrick Wills or James Hudson III. Is Myles just going to be playing through?
I'm greatly worried about the offensive line. I don't know how we go. Oh, well, Miles is going to be okay. It's like, yeah, the offensive line is banged up.
Well, are we right back to just wondering if Miles should sit out a week? And can they even afford it?
No. You're 1-2. You can't afford it.
I know, but he got banged up again after we just had that conversation.
Tone to be able to sit him. What do you have to have? Little thing we like to call hay in the barn.
They don't have it.
And they don't have any hay in that barn.
They got one. They do have one. Meanwhile, also addressing some familiar complaints he might have heard from Sunday and their loss.
The booing?
Well, in this case, the blitzes. The blitzes. Why couldn't they contain the blitzes?
Breaking tendencies is a big part of, as you get to know, offenses and defenses when you're game planning. So they definitely pressured more than they had in the first couple, but that was pretty apparent early that was their game plan. So you're always trying to figure out in these games what teams are going to lean into, whether it's going to be more coverage, more pressure, whatever it may be. There's looks that you often see that you don't game plan for, especially early in the season, and then you just have to make the adjustment in game.
So he did say, I mean, they recognized it fairly early. I think all of us did. I think it was the second drive of the game. We knew they were coming with those blitzes, and I wouldn't even consider them that exotic. I mean, they were bringing guys up to the line, corners, linebackers. They were coming. He says they saw it early. Is he then kind of throwing it back to, hey, guys got to recognize stuff. We fully equip our guys with the ability to change stuff and adjust on the fly. Because the players on Sunday were like, man, they showed us stuff we hadn't seen on tape.
I don't know.
Well, that's why you have the game. You guys do have technology. You do have tablets. You do have coaches. You have a lot of coaches making a lot of money.
They had to have said to each other. There had to be a conversation at times. But, I mean, now that's something you're going to have to put a pin in and figure out as time goes on. Are we starting to blame each other for things?
That's how it goes.
I'm not trying to cause undue stress, but if we're just starting to blame each other for things, yeah, that can snowball and get out of control.
All right, finally. The Houston Astros lost yesterday 6-1 to the Seattle Mariners. What does it mean for our Guardians? Well, magic number to clinch one of the top seeds in the AL and securing a first-round bye in the automatic spot in the ALDS is at 1 over Houston. So what does that mean? Cleveland currently leads Houston by 5 games for the second seed in the AL. So you just have to win one. You just have to win one with the Astros series, or if the Astros lose.
If they lose one more game this year.
It's over. And what a season. What a season. Can you imagine at the start of the year if we would have said we'd be sitting pretty? This kind of impacts what was supposed to be.
The dry run.
The dry run. Owen was looking forward to it. So there's going to be the good and the bad.
I think there's still a dry run there.
Well, this is what I want to point to. You know, they did not exactly run out their best lineup against St. Louis, you know, a couple days
ago. The Guardians, yeah.
And we have seen in Major League Baseball, there's a debate. Same thing with the Browns last year going into the playoffs. Like, how much time off can you really have when you're trying to get your team ready to go?
Baseball's weird, man. You got to play.
There's a chance because, what, the Yankees, in their situation, there's a chance none of these games mean anything.
Right.
For the Guardians for a whole week. And then you're off waiting for the wild card rounds. And then you go back and play. It's going to be like 2 weeks since they've played real baseball.
Can you got to stagger them because you have so many guys who can play multiple either middle infield or outfield positions. Like, you can stagger it a little bit and move it around. But, yeah, I mean, everybody, I would try to get guys some days off here, some time off, but you're going to have days off coming up here if you get the first round bye. So you're going to be able to be taken care of. Like, that's a sport you definitely got to be able to play. And because you need to stay in that rhythm. You got to stay lubricated.
That's it for About Last Night.
Outstanding. Coming up at 8 o'clock. Zagura was talking yesterday about they're playing underneath their realms. They're underwhelming. They're not who they are. I said yesterday, I think we need to come to reality here. And I act like it was an epiphany yesterday. And then you look at some of the Vegas stuff and you look at some of the prognosticators. Like, there were plenty of people picking us to be Cynthia Freeland. She had picked us to be 8-9, I believe, this year. Like, some of this is just not surprising to outsiders. It's surprising to lose to the Giants. It's surprising to lose in that sense. But it's to some of the outsiders, like, you know, this is kind of who you are. And I remember, like, I was having people like, nah, it's still early. It's still early. I go, if your offensive line is banged up, and you're going to be losing some of these guys, and your offense, like, we have a Ken Dorsey problem here. And I'm not saying it's Ken Dorsey's fault. It's, what is Ken Dorsey responsible for? What is this offense doing? Is this a Stefanski-driven offense? He's the one calling the plays. I understand that. But what is being worked in? What is not? Because I do think there was, and some people disagree, I think there were clear indications. Week 1 and week 3, what the offense looked like, and week 2, what the offense looked like. And it wasn't just results-based. You could see it with heavy sets. Now, you couldn't do that because you had lost offensive linemen through the game, but there were things that you could and couldn't do. And so we have ourselves a problem here. And there's a point of it where I'm kind of just accepting who they are. Like, one of the most frustrating things, I think, for Browns fans is Sunday, I think, served for confirmation bias for whatever side of Deshaun Watson you're on. If you are anti-Deshaun Watson, everybody is looking for the smoking gun of whether he's great or whether he's terrible and we're wasting our time with him. On Monday, I'm sorry, guys, as much as you may want to say, he's garbage, he's terrible, he's garbage, get rid of him, we hate him, and you want to chant for Baker Mayfield like you did in the stands on Sunday, I heard that, or chant for Jameis Winston, you cannot deny how terrible the offensive line was. And if Baker was behind that offensive line, he'd have been roasted by a defensive line. Good freaking luck. You know it, and I know it, and Tone absolutely knows it. So you can't even make that argument. Joe Flacco would have got the ball out, but he would have taken at least 5 sacks.
He would have thrown a pick six.
He would have thrown a pick six. He'd have freaked out. He'd have thrown one, guys. Like, it was a terrible, terrible performance. You can't deny. So if you're a pro Watson guy and he can do no wrong on the field and you will deny everything, I'm sorry, that offensive line, that's a baked in excuse for you. If you're a person who can't stand Deshaun Watson, you're going to say, well, a good quarterback should be able to overcome those guys. Yeah, but most of the people who can't stand Deshaun Watson, like the other quarterback didn't play that well on Sunday. The other quarterback, again, would have just gotten decapitated out there in the field behind that offensive line. So it did no good for anybody, and then they lost the game. So it really did no good for anybody. And so you're kind of stuck in this moment, and I'm just looking at the reality of the situation. You go, hey, you take care of them, you're going to have a chance to win. If you can't take care of them, we're going to lose games. We're going to lose games like that against the Giants, against teams that can muster something because everybody has a pass rusher. Everybody has somebody.
Well, it seems like now in the NFL, absolutely every team has one.
We got Mason Crosby. That guy ghost inhales cigars, so you know he's hard, so you can go right on ahead with it. You're going to have your work cut out. Oh, it's laughing. You're going to have your work cut out for you. Truth's the truth.
Guy's got a vape pen out on the field.
I am sorry. Like I think this is who they are. And maybe we've just been, myself included, well, maybe we didn't want to see reality.
Yeah, well, I want to ask
about
that.
We just want to call other people outsiders haters.
Because I saw Nathan Zagura was on yesterday, you know, on the afternoon show, and talking about how disappointing this is, how underachieving this team is. And I'm looking at the Forbes betting odds before the season started, and the Browns were 21st for Super Bowl odds. And everywhere that we would go over the hierarchies of either where different places had Deshaun Watson in the quarterback tiers or where other gambling pundits had the Browns, it was always in the team was always like 16th or 17th. So 1-2 isn't that kind of where, outside of Cleveland, people felt the Browns would be?
Yeah.
Now, I know what everybody would be saying is, well, they all are biased against the Browns. They all want Deshaun Watson to fail. Yeah, these people do this for a living, though. I mean, they have to put teams where they think. And you know what pundits love doing is talking about sleeper teams. They love talking about the sleeper teams and picking the teams that everybody else is down on. And I just didn't see a lot of that for the Browns.
No. I think that they were all down on the quarterback. It was a tough argument to make for them. It was a tough argument to make against them. I think there was still a lot of openings that were there, but I think the more that we play, it's only been 3 weeks, but I think the more that we play, the more it's just like, hey, if you protect him and you take care of him and don't just stick him out there five wide with no, like every now and then you're going to have to try it. I get that. You're going to have to mix things up. But if you just stick him out there and just try to roast the ball down the field, you're going to have problems. You're going to have real problems there. And what I saw on Sunday, I went back against my will because I did not want to watch Sunday's game again. I mean, he pulls his eyes down. He's jittery because he's getting killed
well,
every
this
single
game,
play.
This game, rightfully so. Like, yeah. This was a game. The Dallas game, while Micah Parsons is a nuisance, without a doubt, and boy, Lamar Jackson made him look bad on Sunday. Their action made Micah Parsons look bad. He was confused throughout that entire game. I do think there are ways for a veteran quarterback to combat some of that stuff. You know, this is maybe where the layoff hurt Deshaun Watson more than I think we should have understood, and maybe we took it for granted, that somebody that has seen the amount of football, seen the amount of defenses that Deshaun Watson has seen, I think he should be able to get them out of some of those vulnerable situations. And where were the hot reads? But, I mean, that's veteran stuff.
But that's still where, like you saw, you highlighted the play where Jed Wills was basically left there on an island with two people, and he had a choice of who to block, and he picked neither. Like, Elijah turns right around. Like, there's no blocking there. Like, that's where you go. Like, he knew the blitz was coming. He saw it. He turns right around. And there was nothing that could be done because he handed off the football. So I'm wondering, is that designed or is that a decision that he made? Should he have seen it? Should he have pulled it down? Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that what he did was right or wrong. I don't know. I need to find out more. Maybe I'll find out more when Rodney comes in.
He does have the ability to get them out of place,
he does.
Right?
And he basically showed a lot of that skill that he had with his feet. But I can't just have him taken off every single game, because eventually they'll bring him to justice like they did on Sunday, and we'll lose these games. So I can't keep doing that. I have to try to put him in an offense that is still going to protect him and make him feel confident, because when he's missing yesterday or on Sunday, he's getting excited. He's missing high. He's letting go of the ball early. You're doing that because you're afraid you're going to get tagged. And you know, you finally see somebody open. You're finally seeing it. And there you go. Like, you're working. Defensive pass rushes affect guys' confidences. So again, if you were a pro-Watson person or an anti-Watson person, Sunday did nothing to change your mind. But I also don't think it did nothing to convince the other side, because it couldn't have. It couldn't have convinced the other side that you're right and they're wrong and vice versa. It couldn't have done it. 216-474-0092. And that's what sucks as, almost as bad as the loss, is that I want to learn from a loss. There's very little to learn because guys got hurt. Because you still have to wonder about your defense and their health. Because we're waiting on the whole Bill Callahan thing, which I'll talk about more later. Like, there's still a lot left to be desired to learn, not just winning and losing the football game.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.